Be continuing our sermon series through the Gospel of John. Today I'll be reading John chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. Our sermon series is titled Remaining in Me, or Remain in Me. And kind of it's about what life looks like abiding in Christ, and wanting to encourage you as you go through your day and your week to focus on Christ and to abide in Christ. Today, fitting on the day of Pentecost, we'll be learning about Jesus' teaching on the Holy Spirit. But before we do that, I wanted to do something I did a few weeks ago and just want to do it again, if at all possible, if we could put John 15:5 up on the board. This is kind of our theme verse for the sermon series through the Gospel of John, John 15:5. It's probably one you guys know very well. I'm the vine, you are the branches, hence our display up front here that fits along with that. But even if you know it, living this out can be a tricky thing. Letting this sink in can be a tricky thing as well. So I want to do something before we get to the sermon text, just to kind of prepare your hearts for what Christ has for you. And I'm going to ask you to do this. We did this a few weeks ago. I'm going to ask you to do it again. And it's very simple. Is I'm going to read this verse two times. And while I'm reading it, I want this to be your prayer. To let this sink in that this is true, and not just know it mentally, but as you go through your life to live this out, as you face tomorrow to live this out, what it is to be rooted in Christ. And then the third time, I'm going to ask you to read that with me out loud, and as you read that with me, to claim it for yourself, to let this be your response back to God, I will live this life and do that. And then I'll read the sermon text and pray and have just a mind-blowing sermon for you right after that all takes place. So Matt. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. As my one fan, I paid him a lot to do that just right then and there. So, if you could do this for me, just listen, let this sink in for you. I am the vine. You are the branches. If anyone remains in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Make that your prayer. What are you rooted in? What are you dwelling in? What do you think will give you life and fruit and happiness and wholeness? And is it Christ? I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you believe that this morning? If you do, claim it. Let's read this together. Everyone with me together, read it out loud. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Heavenly Father, that is our prayer this morning. And as we read the words of John 14, we pray that you would open up our hearts not only to what you have for us, but to the gift of the Holy Spirit. May we be grateful for it. May we be people that see the Holy Spirit at work. And may we understand the Holy Spirit's place in helping us fulfill what you have called us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while I was still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you all of everything I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold of me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Jessica and I have a friend. It's mostly Jessica's friend, but when we got married, she became my friend too. Hopefully, it's a good thing. We've got a friend that dealt with something that I'm sure many of you have had to deal with, either if you were kids growing up, or especially if you were parents, you had to deal with this. Jessica and my friends had a situation where she put her young son to bed for the night and, you know, quiet for about a half an hour in his room, when then all of a sudden he screams out, Mommy! She comes charging, thinking he's hurt himself or that something bad has happened or whatever. And she comes in to see him crying and ask what happened, and the son explains, there's a monster in my closet. Right? Anybody have to go through this? So the mom explains, oh, there's no monster in your closet, you're fine, opens the closet, shines a light in there, and the kid says, okay, goes back to sleep for about 15 minutes or so, screams again, Mom, there's a monster in my closet. Mom comes running back, is, you know, pleading, no, there's no monster in your closet, even makes up things, right, sprays hairspray, this is monster removal spray, I'm removing it from you, there's no monster. Another 30 minutes pass and another scream, Mom, there's a monster in my closet. So the mom gets an idea. And the mom says this, comforts her son, rubs him on the back, pats him on the head, and says, don't worry, there's no monster. That's Jesus you hear in the closet. That's Jesus in the closet. You need not be worried. Don't worry, that's Jesus in the closet. Son says, okay, goes to bed. 20 minutes later, screams, Mom, Jesus is trying to kill me. He's in the closet. And has become convinced that Jesus is this scary, spooky person in the closet that is trying to get him. Mom realized maybe that didn't work quite the way she was hoping for it to work. What I like about this story is it's two reminders for us this morning. The first is how hard it is to convey this idea that Christ is with us, even if he's not, like, totally with us. Right? If I were to ask all of you, I'd say, hey, do you believe Christ is in this room? Because we just got done singing a song, This is Holy Ground, right? If I said, do you think Christ is in this place? Many of you would say, yeah, of course he's here, he's in this room. And then if I followed up and said, well, which seat is he sitting in? You'd be, well, wait a minute, that's not quite how it works. And I'd say, well, then how does it work? What does it look like that Christ is present but he's not? And I believe that, but it's a tricky thing to convey. And I think this mom had that same issue with the monster in the closet trying to convey how Christ is present or not. But the second thing it reminds me of is this, is that, believe it or not, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, many of us do have this irrational fear of what God might do. Just like this boy was scared of a monster in the closet, many of us are scared of what the Holy Spirit might actually do in our lives, because he might actually ask us to step out of our comfort zones or doing something unique or different. And we're worried about that. Well, this morning what I want to do is try as best as I can to explain how Christ is present, even if you can't totally see him, but then push you for that second thing, to not be afraid of the gift of the Holy Spirit, but to let it work in your life and let God do a new thing in your life. So we'll do that through John chapter 14. If you got your Bibles open, let me just walk you through this. Near the end of Jesus' life, after he had taught the disciples, after he had done, performed many miracles, after he told them that he was about to be crucified, in fact, on the very last night of Jesus' life, Jesus is going to give parting instructions to his disciples. So just like, you know, when you went to prom or whatever, and your dad said, you know, don't speed while you're driving, and, you know, be sure to tell her she looks nice and all that, you know, whatever the last instructions were that Jesus gives them to disciples, and that's John chapter 14 through 17. There's a long section in there of what Jesus says, this is what you need to know and need to do. I read the first part, which is John 14, in which Jesus needs to explain somehow how, even though he'll die and be resurrected and then ascend to the Father, he's still somehow present. This is what Jesus is trying to explain to you. He says, it doesn't totally make sense, but you're not going to actually see me like you used to see me when we used to hang out and I did the feeding of the 5,000 and everything like that. But I still will be here, and I want to explain how that works. And so Jesus is trying to do this very thing. So it starts in verse 15, and you could just follow right through with me. Jesus says, first, your job is, just so you're clear, your job is to obey my commands. And then my job is to do this. My job is to ask the Heavenly Father for the Advocate. the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says, and this Holy Spirit's going to do a few things for you. First, the Holy Spirit is going to help you throughout your life. You have a spiritual built-in assistant, built-in, was it Staples Easy Button, built-in whatever it might be to guide you through this thing called life. He says that's what the advocate is going to do, is to help you through this thing called life. He next says this, that the advocate will never leave you. You cannot get the Holy Spirit to go away. You don't get to say, shoo, go away, Holy Spirit, and you've ruined it forever for everyone. The Holy Spirit will always be with you. And then he says this third thing. He says, and people probably won't understand the Holy Spirit. That the people of this world won't quite follow what it is that you're doing. This is Jesus' teaching. He says, okay, I'm going to be gone, but this gift of the Holy Spirit, that's what I want you to focus on, because that's the thing that's going to be by you and beside you in this whole time. So then if you're still with me, a guy named Judas Iscariot, not Iscariot, excuse me, the other guy, he's probably going to have that problem in heaven where, you know, hey, I'm Jesus' disciple Judas, and everyone's like, ooh, we didn't know you made it into heaven, and he's got to explain, no, I'm the other Judas from the disciples, not the first Judas. Oh, okay, that makes more sense. This Judas asks an important question. Jesus, how are we going to see you but not see you? How is it we're going to see you and the whole rest of the world isn't going to see you? Do you have some sort of invisible potion? Do you have, you Star Trek fans, do you have a Romulan cloaking device or something like that, Jesus? Will you hide in the bushes when non-Christians drop by and then pop back out again when they're gone? How is it that we will be able to see you, but other folks won't? And Jesus goes on, he's somewhat vague, and he just basically says this, well, here's how it works, Judas. If you obey me, you'll see me. And if you don't obey me, you won't see me. But don't worry, the advocate's going to be here, and he's going to help you figure this whole thing out. And you can live a life of peace and courage, even if you don't physically see me, because the advocate's with you. And then he concludes and he says, I'm going to the Father, but the devil is coming and the devil has no power over me. Just trust what I'm telling you. That's Jesus' teaching. I'm not going to lie to you. As I read this passage, my head hurt a little bit trying to follow all of the logic of what Jesus was trying to say. It seems like he says different things at different times. It doesn't make sense all the time to me. But here's what I do think. My gut is that this passage is in the Bible because many of you ask a question on a regular basis that goes something like this. Where is God right now? My God is, this is in the Bible because many of us ask, where is God at work? And I think what Jesus is trying to say is, if you're sitting here and you're wondering, where is God? The answer would be, where's the Holy Spirit? And you'd probably figure out where God is. If you're asking the question, where is God in my life? I think Jesus' answer, and again, I don't want to oversimplify because I've had plenty of times it's very difficult to figure out where God is exactly working. But if you're asking that question, I think Jesus' answer would be something to the effect of, well, where's the Holy Spirit right now? Where do you sense his presence? And that will start to guide you in the right direction. This morning on Pentecost Sunday, you know, for anyone that doesn't know, Pentecost Sunday is 50 days after Easter. And it's the Sunday in which we acknowledge the gift of the Holy Spirit. You heard it read earlier where the tongues of fire came upon people as they're praying in the upper room. For Pentecost Sunday, I want to encourage you all this morning to seek the presence of the Holy Spirit, not just in times when things are bad, but as daily guidance for your life. To understand and acknowledge the gift of the Holy Spirit and how God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'd like to share with you this morning. That's what I'd like to preach on this fine morning. Here's the problem, Redeemer. If you preach on the Holy Spirit, you folks will immediately be divided into two separate camps as soon as I mention the words Holy Spirit. The first camp is those of you that love the Holy Spirit. You love the Holy Spirit so much you're hanging from the ceiling fans with the Holy Spirit. You are the folks that ask yourselves on a regular basis, why can't we see more of the Holy Spirit? Why isn't Pastor Mark running up and down the aisles? How come he can't do one of those forehead slaps where they all fall down? Why are we missing the power of the Holy Spirit? And I don't mean to say that in a mocking way, because there are some folks that have been very genuine and very Christ-like and very compassionate that have said, hey, I'm just hungry to see God at work. I don't need all the fanaticism. I'm just hungry to see God move in mighty and different and new ways, and I've seen it in my life, and I'm hungry for it for the rest of my church body. There are folks excited that love the idea of the Holy Spirit. We read, two summers ago, we did a sermon series called 10 Things I Hate About You. And I preached on all the things people hate about the church. And one of them that I didn't get a chance to preach on, but it was very true, was somebody filled in, because we had people fill in cards about what are some of the things they don't like about church. And one of the things people put is, why do we make things so safe for people? That's what they didn't like about the church. Why didn't we do, and some of you would pray that. Why aren't we praying with one another and letting the power of the Holy Spirit move? Why aren't we hearing prophetic words on a regular basis? Why aren't we celebrating when someone is miraculously healed? So some of you would be in this group to say, man, message on the Holy Spirit, I'm on board, this is fantastic. Others of you will be in a camp that's a little bit nervous right now. Others of you will hear about the Holy Spirit and you're just a little bit nervous this morning, and it's probably because of previous experiences you have had with folks that are filled with the Holy Spirit and or with something else, and you're not quite sure what that something else is. But the initials are B and S, and I'll let you do 2 and 2 as to what it might be. You've hung out with people that have told you, well, you don't have the gift of tongues, you must not be a Christian. You've hung out with folks that have said, hey, you prayed for a miracle, it didn't happen, you must have screwed up somewhere along the way. You've hung out with folks that have said, man, this is what God is doing in my life, and you're saying to yourself, no, that's what you're doing in your life, and you're actually ruining what God's doing in your life, but you're so focused on the Spirit, you can't even see that God is doing this in your life. You've hung out with folks that have done some weird things. Man, I was part of a summer camp one summer, and the camp was good and solid, but they invited these sort of Pentecostal charismatic group to rent out the camp on a regular basis. And we were all there kind of watching this group do their thing, and good solid Christian group, but check this out, Redeemer. They did this one thing where the counselors lined up like in parallel facing in. So let me like a counselor on this side and a counselor on this side. And then they had all the kids, we're going to run up and down the line of the counselors while the counselors breathed on them. And that was the power of the Holy Spirit breathing on the kids, if that made any sense. So if this is your thing, more power to you. Not really my thing, but the counselor's like, Holy Spirit. And the kids had to run up and down and get the Holy Spirit as soon as they did and then run back. And that was their giftings. Maybe some of you are sitting there and saying, that's not me. That's good, because that's definitely not me either, Redeemer. It's not who I am. My job this morning, if I can do this, is to sort out some of the nonsense that's out there, while at the same time push you as best as I can to embrace the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's what I'm going to try to do this morning. I don't know if I'll be successful or not, but that's my simple goal this morning. If you're asking the question, where is God? I want to push you toward the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you. Yes, there is nonsense out there, but don't let that be the thing that gets you so afraid of the Holy Spirit, you're like this 5-year-old that's thinking Jesus is in his closet and you don't want anything to do with him. I want to share with you what it is, life in the Holy Spirit, and encourage you. This is the gift that Jesus has given you to live out this life. So let me see if I can do that this morning. We'll do my best. The big picture. The Holy Spirit is the advocate which helps you live out God's mission. Notice the pronouns I said there. The Holy Spirit is the advocate that helps you live out God's mission. I did not say the Holy Spirit helps you live out your mission. It helps you live out God's mission. Why is that important? Well, the primary reason that's important is because I find that the most people get in trouble with the Holy Spirit is when somehow they have converted God's mission to their own personal mission. And they're missing God at work because they're so set on just the stuff they can get for themselves. Let me give you a funny example and then a serious example. Let that sink in. When I was in high school, I went to a Christian high school. And you know, high school age, you're dealing with all the drama that you deal with in terms of emotions and dating and all that stuff. And one common thing at the Christian high school I was at was that if you wanted to break up with someone and didn't want to let them down too hard, you could always tell them that the Holy Spirit was telling me not to date you, right? Hey, we've been dating for a while, but the Holy Spirit has told me that we need to break up. If you are on the receiving end of this comment, it's a very difficult thing to have a rebuttal to, because if, you know, some young female turns to you and says, hey, the Holy Spirit's telling me that we should break up with one another. There's no way I can respond back and say, well, you tell the Lord of the universe, he can shut up. You know, you can't, there's no comeback to that. And this would happen all the time. Oh, the Holy Spirit's telling me to take a break from dating. And then a week later, oh, I can start dating again just with somebody else besides you, and all that stuff that goes on with that. Well, as we look back, and again, here's my funny example, but as we look back and over time, we kind of realize that probably wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was probably just us doing what we wanted to do and using the Holy Spirit as cover for what we actually wanted to do. This goes on a regular basis. Serious example, a little bit more painful. Faith healer comes up to you and says, hey, I want to pray for healing, prays for you. You are not healed. Faith healer immediately says, well, you don't have enough faith. But think about what he or she is doing when they say that. They're saying, the Holy Spirit is not doing it for you. There's nothing about them. There's nothing about us. There's nothing about the mission of God. It's all your fault. And they're implying that the Holy Spirit is just between you and God, and it's not for this entire mission of what God is doing. Heard a great story, Redeemer. I didn't even hear it. I was sitting there. I was part of this story. A few years ago, I was in seminary studying to be a pastor. While I was in seminary, I worked as a grounds crew guy for the school I went to. And I had some coworkers, and one was a guy that was kind of more of a Pentecostal background, I guess I'd describe him. And he was convinced that God was asking him to pray that he would be blessed with $1 million. And over, he'd pray. He'd ask his friends, hey, pray for me. God has given me a word that I need to be blessed with $1 million. Over and over, nonsense. $1 million, $1 million, $1 million. Well, got to be honest with you, I'm kind of offended by this. So I come up to the guy, he's like, are you sure God wants you to pray for that? I mean, there's starving people all over the world. I mean, what do you need $1 million for? What's going on? And he just fought with me, and he and I went head to head, and I said, I don't think God really wants you to pray that. And he said, hey, I can pray for anything. You know, the Lord wants to bless me. Day in and day out, we were praying and arguing over this, over whether God wanted this guy to have $1 million or not. The third coworker joins the conversation a few days later. Another Christian, and he looks at us and says, what are you guys arguing about? And we turn and explain, we're arguing over whether this guy can pray for $1 million or not. Third coworker says this. He says, that's awesome that God wants you to have $1 million. What does he want you to use it for? That guy that prayed for $1 million got quiet pretty darn quick. And the reason was because he only wanted $1 million just for him. I got quiet pretty darn quick. And the reason was I had this mindset that you couldn't ask for God's stuff, even though we're supposed to, because of the power of the Holy Spirit. What we learned is that we're both on God's mission. And the gift of the Spirit is to live out God's mission. I want to encourage you this morning, if you'd like to see the Holy Spirit move, the simplest thing I could suggest to you is rather than go to a conference on prophesying or fast for a week or worship with snakes or anything like that, nothing wrong with any of that. It's your world, not mine. You can do that. But if you were asking me the quickest way to welcome the Holy Spirit, I would simply suggest to you get involved in whatever God is doing and see what he does. That's the best thing I could suggest to you is just find out where God is working. And that does not mean come to worship on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in your life as you go through your day, seek out where God is working. And my guess is because the Holy Spirit is always on a mission, you'll see a whole lot more of the Holy Spirit working in your life as well. First thing that will protect you from so much hurt is to understand that the Holy Spirit is not here to serve you. It's here to help you live out God's mission. That's what Jesus says in the Bible. Let me point out one more thing. So it says in the text that you are called to join in with the work of the Holy Spirit. But it also says in the text that the Holy Spirit will be working on you as you are working on the work of the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? So the Holy Spirit is not only wanting you to lead the small group. The Holy Spirit is telling you, I would like you to be transformed as you lead the small group closer to my image. This is what I think Jesus means in verse 26 when he says, let me teach and remind you of what it is that you want to do. Redeemer, one reason there's so much hurt because of the Holy Spirit is because there are several folks that are desperate for the Holy Spirit, but they have no desire to grow into the image of Christ as they receive the Holy Spirit. They just want the power of the Spirit. They don't want to grow closer to God. And this, my friends, is when things get dangerous, and this is when people get hurt. I got a great piece of practical advice from a charismatic Episcopalian. If you can imagine the combination of those two, charismatic and Episcopalian. If you don't know, Episcopalian's very formal, and charismatic's very very spirit-filled. And so this was a guy that, he'd be, well, let's read from the Book of Common Prayer, the Feast of St. Michael. Oh, hold on, I got to exorcise a demon real quick. Okay, let's go back to the reading here we had this morning. I was asking him one day, I say, how do you prevent abuse? How do you prevent hurt when you see the Holy Spirit at work? And his advice was this. He said, whenever things get to be judgmental, take a step back because people are no longer using the Holy Spirit. And I asked him to explain. He said, here's what he means. He said, whenever it starts to be judgmental, well, I'm more spiritual than you are. Well, I've got more spiritual gifts than you do. Well, I'm healed and you're not because I'm stronger than you in the faith. He said, whenever that happens, walk away. And he said the reason was this. He said, people that follow the Holy Spirit should be growing closer to the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. If you run into folks that are more jerks than they are less jerks when they have the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, chances are it's not the power of the Holy Spirit. And I've always remembered that. God wants to work on you as he's trying to transform you. I want to encourage you. If you're seeing the Holy Spirit at work, you might pray for a big boat or $1 million or the sermon to end quicker or whatever it is that you want to pray for. But I would encourage you to pray to start with simply this. What's an area where I can grow closer to Christ's image and be transformed into his likeness? All this week I've been praying for rest. It's been a long, long month for us, long few months for us. And I've been more and more tired and exhausted, and I've been praying for rest. And, you know, you can pray that, and then you get more stressed out because, well, I only got 7 hours of sleep last night and then six, and you're even more tired and worried. And then little Ellis wakes up at 4 a.m. this morning screaming, and you just, you know, when's it going to come? And last week I read Psalm 62. It goes something like this. Truly my soul finds rest in God. And all of a sudden it sunk in. Maybe I should worry a little less about the alarm clock and worry a little bit more about how my faith is doing with Jesus Christ to find this rest I so desperately long for. The Holy Spirit wants to change you while it's changing the world. And the number one mistake we make, and the reason there's so much abuse of the Holy Spirit, is because people simply do not want to be changed, but want to have the power of God without the image of God in their lives. The Holy Spirit, a gift for God's mission. It is not for your mission, it is for God's mission. It is not so you can transform other people so that you can be transformed yourself. This is what God calls us to do. Now, the weirdest thing about this week was trying to plan a sermon teaching about the Holy Spirit when that would be the most odd way to invite the Holy Spirit into your lives. Here, let me invite you into the Holy Spirit by snoozing you all to death with a sermon. So we wanted to do something a little bit different to finish the worship this morning. We're going to close with a time of prayer. The praise team is going to sing a song they just sang a few moments ago. It's called Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And I want to encourage you to take this time between you and the Lord to invite the Holy Spirit into your life. Somebody might bust out in tongues, more power if you do that, but if you don't, still trust that God is working in whatever different way he wants to work in your life. It could look like tongues. It could simply look like a thank you card to somebody you need to write a thank you card to. And as you're praying, we want to invite you. You can sit where you are. You can stand and sing with the congregation. You can come up to the kneelers if you really want. Whatever you want to do, this is your time. We want to simply invite you to ask you to invite the Holy Spirit in. And let that be your prayer. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be worried about it. Let it sink in, and let it sink in that God wants to work in mighty ways in your life. Let me share one last thing before the praise team comes up and I pray. One last thing about the Holy Spirit I want to share. This morning I've shared with you the dangers of the Holy Spirit being used inappropriately. But there's probably one other danger that I didn't mention, and it's very real. And that would be a life that's totally ignoring the Holy Spirit completely because you're worried so much about it being abused. I would encourage you, human beings are messy, we're messy, I'm messy. But don't let God's power and might not take shape in your life because you're worried of what someone else has done. God has promised you this gift, your advocate, to walk beside you in this world. Reach out to him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us and present. We thank you that you are willing to give us the tools we need to live out your mission. The encouragement we need to live out your mission. The wisdom we need to live out your mission. And we do repent, Father, that more often than not, we are all too eager to proceed before the Holy Spirit rather than listen to the Holy Spirit and to follow. In this time of prayer, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be present, would help us receive from you whatever it is we need to receive from you, would help us live the lives you're calling us to live, and that the gift of the Holy Spirit would be real in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Self, you can sing, you can pray, you can come up, whatever it might be, but this is your time to welcome the Holy Spirit. Father, we conclude with a simple prayer that you would be welcome in our hearts and in this place. And as we just sang, that we would become more aware of your presence. And for whatever was lifted up in this time, Lord, we simply ask that that would be the case. If anyone asks the question, where are you? That the gift of the Holy Spirit would lead them right to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.